Hi, this is Dawn Shireen. This is my podcast, Dance with Bipolar. Well, today is one of those days that, you know, as they say, will live in infamy, and for me for several reasons. It is Sunday, September 11th, 2022, and I am in one of my one of my favorite places to just sit and chill and do everything, including the podcast. It's close enough to the house to run for it if it starts pouring, or even, you know, it's close enough to run. Plus, it's far enough away, and it's, of course, on the tracks, you know, and it's right on the sidewalk, but it's still one of those places where it's just like, if anybody ever came to the other side of the rocks, I would be sad, because there'd be no place for me to come and hang out. The other side of the rocks are just so beautiful, and there's all kinds of wildflowers, and butterflies just buzzed over me, and, you know, I guess beauty is where you find it, right? So, right now, I'm thinking this place is pretty beautiful, and I'm really glad that I always bring something to sit on, because I'm wearing tan corduroys today. Yes, anybody who knew me back in the day, back in corduroys, like back in the day, like way back in the day. Anyway, I'm wearing tan corduroys, so even though the dust is red, it's still not a fashion statement I'm willing to make right now. So I'm actually waiting to see if a train comes, because I didn't do the timing right, because I didn't think to do it, and here we go. Okay, that was one of the coolest things I've seen. A very, very short train, but it was all just engines. I've never seen just an engine train before, so there's a first, right? That's actually super cool, because I was like, wait a minute, one, two, three, wait a minute. Oh, there's nothing in between them. That's funny. Anyway, what was I saying? I don't remember. Something about it being September 11th. And, how beautiful it is here. And why it's a day that will live in infamy. And, you know, one of them I don't have to really go into. If you were born any time before 2001, it's one of those things that you'll never forget. You'll just never forget. It just, you can't. It was just so, unless you live like in on an island or out in the Amazon or something like that, there's no way that you could never not know what happened on September 11th, 2001. So I don't need to get into it. That didn't, you know, was I traumatized by that? You know, I think everybody was traumatized by that in some aspect. You know, I lived in Connecticut, which was right next door to New York when that happened, and it affected a lot of things. I lost people in the explosion, and it really did. It affected a lot of things. You know, probably nowhere near as bad as COVID did, in the same sense as isolation and stuff like that goes. But, yeah, it definitely left its mark. Let's leave it at that. So, who I'm going to talk about and what I'm going to talk about today is the second year anniversary of the passing of the finest man I've ever known, Mr. Christopher Richmond. And for those of you who have not been following the show from the beginning, I'm not really going to suggest you have to go back and listen to what happened in 2020, but I will give you a rundown to the best of honoring him. Christopher was love of my life. I met him in 2019, and he was the cheerleader for Dancing with Bipolar, him and my dog Doc, who's also deceased. They were my go-to team. They were the people that kept my head above water when I couldn't see Dancing with Bipolar becoming anything but maybe 100 listens total show. Christopher encouraged me to never give up, ever. He knew it was in me to do it, and he didn't let me slack. He wouldn't allow me to slack. He didn't help me with all the promotion and stuff, but he sat there with me while I did it, and he sat there with me while the first charts started rolling in and I started ranking on Apple, and he was more excited than I was half the time, because he knew I could do it, and I was just like, this is all because of you. In hindsight, you know, it wasn't all because of him, but he certainly had a lot to do with it. So, Christopher and I had a really good, I don't know, I'm gonna say 9 months, maybe a little longer, but right around 9 months of just being in love and everything that means, and you know, all the giddiness and euphoria and the beauty that comes with being in pure love with somebody, with just not caring about what anybody else thinks and just letting it go and just being happy and just being in love, like head over heels, you know, pull my brain out from my head in love. And it was amazing, because up till Christopher, I'd been in Arizona for how long? A while, 9 years, something like that. And I had never experienced that since being in Arizona. I had been, I'm not going to say celibate, but I had been, you know, single, and I had never thought that that would happen for me again. I thought that was over for me. So when I met Christopher, and I'm not going to say he swept me off my feet at first sight, because maybe a little bit, okay, I'll be honest, maybe a little bit. And then he didn't really wear on me. I kind of wore on him. I kind of wore him down. And then the first night that we actually spent together, we had dinner and listened to Dinosaur Jr. and all kinds of music that I had never heard of before that he introduced me to, and all kinds of music he had never heard of before that I introduced him to. And we just listened to music all night long and just talked. And then, you know, that happened at some point in time there, but for the better part of it, it was just all music and talking and getting to know each other and falling in love with him. Like, just at that night was the night where I was just like, this boy, man, he's got me good, and he did get me good. And I fell hard for Christopher, fast and hard and loyal, and his ride or die. And, you know, things were good, like I said, for about 9 months. And then the wheels started falling off the bus. And, you know, Christopher had some really big traumas come upon him, which I'm not going to get into, because I think I probably talked about him 2 years ago. But they're kind of not necessary to who he was and what happened. Just some things happened. And Chris started, you know, deteriorating a little bit here and there. And, you know, I'm not going to say I was clean, because I wasn't, you know, and he just started using more and more of a lot of different things, and he was masking and hiding, and it was just kind of, it wasn't the Christopher I knew, but it was the Christopher a lot of people knew. So I kind of followed their lead, although I was terrified for his life. You know, his family knew him better, I thought, than I did, and would, you know the triggers and know the signs and know what to do. And I don't think any of us knew what to do. I don't think any of us actually knew what was actually going down, that it was as serious as it was. So somewhere between September 11th and July 28th, when my dog Doc died, things just took a really bad turn for me and Chris. And although, like I said, I wasn't clean, I was not using as much as he was, and I knew he was on a death race. I mean, it was just obvious the way he was living his life. And I tried to get him to go into rehab. I would have done it with him. I wasn't, you know, it's easy for me to say that I wasn't as bad as he was, because I really wasn't. I don't ever try to equate addiction to addiction to addiction. However, there's mile markers, let's put it, on the road to addiction, and I was at least 7 mile markers behind him. And I asked him to go into rehab, and by that point, a lot of things had already happened that had made him feel like his life was absolutely worthless and he had no value, and he would not agree to going into rehab. So I kind of had to back away. Plus, there was other things going on that I was just totally not okay with, and people he was hanging around with that were really bad associations, and going back to old people in old ways, and people that I knew were just absolutely awful for him. And I had self-preservation in mind, you know. And did that make me a bad person? I don't think so. Did I try? I really did. And then after Doc died, you know, Christopher wouldn't come and help me bury Doc, because, you know, there was other things going on that held greater importance in his life at that time, which, you know, basically meant probably that he was really sick, you know, and he needed to go do what he had to go do. And that wasn't until, like, much hindsight later that I figured that out. But when Doc died, he said he was going to come and help me bury him, and he did not. And right there was the end of the Christopher I knew. 2-3 days later, he did help me go get my other dog, which I never should have gotten another dog that quick after Doc died, but he did help me go to the Humane Society and got another dog, and, you know, that was a good bad day. His dog overheated in the truck, and Christopher was not okay, but he took the time to help me do that, and that was the last, like, real good memory I have of me and Christopher and him driving back with me in the bed of the truck with Peanut and, you know, passing a joint back and forth through the window and playing music way too loud and just laughing, and like that glimpse of what it was like when we first fell in love was there. But it didn't last long. And we got back to the trailer park and I got Peanut out and Christopher disappeared, and, you know, and then a lot of things happened, you know, and I was mourning Doc, and I was really mourning Christopher, because there were other, like I said, things that happened up to that point, which had led to his demise, you know, and a lot of things within his family, and a lot of things within his own self-esteem, and things were just falling apart for Chris on COVID, of course. It was good old COVID to add to the mix, and which really took him, it really, that slammed him straight behind, between the eyes, was COVID, and the fact that he couldn't find a job, and the fact that everything was just so jacked up and isolated, and he couldn't go to the, you know, he couldn't go play pool, and he couldn't do this, and, like, normal life was just stunted, and, you know, Christopher being the strongest person I ever knew in my life, like, COVID just knocked him off his feet. And he didn't get COVID. It was just the whole COVID experience that went down with the social isolation and the distancing and the no work and the no this and the no that and the vaccinations and everything. And it just knocked him for a loop. And so COVID, and then somewhere in between there, Scott, who you can go back and listen to Dumbest in the Room to get an idea of who Scott was, came and picked me up during this time when I was, you know, pretty much separated from Christopher, you know, just not dealing with him. And Scott came and picked me up one day and brought me to a friend's house, and I wound up being trafficked to this person, being sold for drug debt, and I was trafficked, you know, and I was the word, I want to say quarantine, that's a good word, but that's not the word. Anyway, I held captive, kidnapped. Yeah, those work, at this place in Overgard, Arizona, and during that time, when I was being held captive, Christopher committed suicide on September 11th, 2020, and that's what happened, you know. And so it's been 2 years since Christopher did this. And although I actually didn't find out until the 16th, which is actually the day that kind of like knocks me on my ass. This is the day that he actually made the choice that life was way too hard and just ended his life. Was it an accident? You know, I think everybody would like to believe that any suicide is an accident. And sure, it could have been an accident. It absolutely could have been an accident. Could have been foul play. It could have been a whole lot of things. But what it means is that Christopher is no longer walking this earth, and I lost my best friend. I really did. And though, you know, I'm holding it together better than I ever have when it comes to this. It's still 2 years, and it's not like, it's still not a long time. When I look for him all the time, and everybody I see that even look like halfway like him or has a fluorescent shirt on, oh my gosh, all these guys with fluorescent shirts, I must think I'm out of my flipping mind. I see him and I turn around so quick, I think my head is going to spin off my body, you know, because as an electrician, Christopher would wear an orange or a green fluorescent shirt. So, you know, every time I see him, I'm always like, oh, that could be Christopher. And then nothing for nothing, the place that I live at is directly across the parking lot from an electrician place. The guys are electricians, so I mean, don't think like every morning when I hear these guys coming in drunk and hungover and stupid that I'm not thinking, oh, wow, Christopher could have fit in there really well, you know. Like, because I do. So that's Christopher in a nutshell. And you know, I don't know what year it is that it's going to be that I stop doing a tribute for him on September 11th, but it's definitely not this year. all I can say is, honestly, people, posse, folks, if it's that dark for you and that bad, and you honestly think your only option is to commit suicide, please, I beg of you, reach out to somebody, anybody. There are text chat lines. 761-761 is one that comes to mind that you can text them. You don't even have to talk to anybody, and they will help you. They will text you. They'll try to get your mind off of whatever it is that's making you feel like you don't deserve to live, because I promise you, you do. You do deserve to live. There's NAMI, and I can't think of the suicide. I should have thought about it beforehand, but the suicide prevention line in the U.S. is, I really should have looked it up beforehand, but I'll put it in the show notes. And in every country, on my old website, I used to have all the resources, and because I've been so busy in this place with just, like, being busy, I haven't had a chance to actually update this website since I restarted it last year when I came out of the hospital. So it's there, but it's not great. And I'll have to go through and find all those resources again to get them back up there on the website for you guys in all these different countries, so that if you have an emergency mental health issue or somebody you love is having one, I mean, I know this is probably not the prime place you should go to look for resources, but they will be there. And what I would do is, once I finally get them up there, is just take the numbers down and have them in a place where you can find them. So in case. But yeah, First of all, I don't want anybody to feel like how Christopher felt, because I get that. I too did. I actually died and got to come back. And there's some early shows about that. Like, somewhere between 1 through 10, I talk about that. And maybe it's time to bring it back up again and talk about it again. But not today, because today's Christopher's Day. And I really urge all of you that, you know, honestly, if it gets that bad, then just please ask for help. You know, sign yourself into a hospital, go to an emergency room, tell them you're feeling suicidal. And if you are, you are. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. And if you do that, you will immediately be taken into the hospital where they can help you not die. It's important. We're all here for a reason. You know, and, you know, I think about it a lot, you know, not a lot, not as much as I used to when it first happened, because, like, with all things, the intensity, you know, it lessens over time. It doesn't mean the pain leaves, and it doesn't mean I think everything, maybe except the intensity of the love, because that is never going to change, but the intensity of the pain, the intensity of the shock, and the intensity of the, like, gut punch that you get when you find out that somebody you love has committed suicide. Shit, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, but it doesn't ever take it away, you know? It'll always be a wound, it'll always be a scar, it'll always be a headache, you know? And I don't mean like that in a bad way, it'll be something that will come up and just hit you and be like, oh man, I thought that headache went away, and it's like, the memories will never go away. I had some of the best times of my life with Christopher. Me, him, Doc, his dog Nala. We were a little family, you know, and we were a little family for that period of time. And, you know, a lot of people don't get what we had, even though it was for a really limited amount of time. But most people, all their lives on Earth, look for that person that they're supposed to connect with, that's supposed to, you know, that's supposed to make you guys 200%. That's just that person that you're meant to be on Earth with. And not everybody finds them. You know, and I got to find Christopher, and I got to spend that time with him. And so I know what true, pure, absolutely blissful love is all about. And I also know, on the other hand, I also know the other side. So, you know, like, there's an equal balance to everything. As good as it is, was as bad as it got. And, you know, who's to say that Christopher and I would still be friends had he not died? Nobody knows. You know, he was on a pretty bad trajectory, and, I was too, let's be honest about it, you know. I was hanging around with somebody who felt like, you know, he could traffic me to somebody. I mean, so I wasn't actually on the best path either. However, you know. So I would just really beg all of you guys, in Christopher's memory, Christopher Richmond, in his memory, that y'all would just get help if you need it. And if you see somebody who's struggling, don't be shy. Don't be don't be afraid to be intrusive. If you think somebody is thinking about killing themselves, get all up in their face, man. Get up in their grill. Get all in their area and let them get mad at you and let them lash out at you in anger, because you know what? That's going to take away their want to kill themselves, because it's going to take away some of their pain and fear and hurt, because they're going to be putting it out on you. And be prepared, you know, because it might not be pretty, but at least you're going to save someone's life. And really, I could take a little bit of a mental beat down if it meant that my best friend was still alive. Seriously. Yeah, there's probably other stuff to say, but I'm going to leave it at that today. This is just so you guys just keep it together, stay alive. You know, don't succumb to that demon that ate Christopher alive, because he was here for a reason. He was a wonderful person. He was an amazing man. He was an artist. He was a son. He was a lover. He was a best friend. He was a cousin. He was an uncle. He was it. He was everything. And he just couldn't keep it together. You know, and life is hard, guys. I'm not saying it's not. You know, you all know I did it too, and I just was lucky enough to come back. Don't even give it that one shot that you might not have a chance to come back. Just everybody, if you feel like that, please get help. And if you recognize somebody that is going down that deserted, dark, awful road, please intercept them. Do what you can. That's a confirmation. So, this is Dawn Shereen. This is my podcast, Dance with Bipolar. And hey, let's all stay alive, okay? Later.